Bill Roseman, creative director for Marvel Games. I've worked with Marvel for about 20 years now. I started here on the East Coast in the publishing division, and actually came in through marketing and then went into publishing. And I did a bunch of books, Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy, and, Avengers Academy, and Stephen King line, and the Disney Kingdoms line, and all that fun stuff. And then, late last year, Jay Ong, our VP of Marvel Games, reassembled the team. And I jumped over from coast to coast to be creative director. And what I do is just make sure everything, every game we do, from mobile to PC to console, is authentically Marvel. So that, by that I mean it's the right characters, in the right costumes, saying the right dialogue, with the right powers. So you, as a Marvel fan, when you watch something, you never say, why are they wearing that? That person doesn't wear that costume. You know, why isn't Carol Danvers Captain Marvel? She should be Captain Marvel. Ms. Marvel is Kamala Khan. So I make sure we're all aligned, make sure that we are, the pipelines between TV, whether it's live action or animation or studios or publishing, I keep those pipelines open. And so you see the newest characters in their newest looks, and connect all the divisions, and just make sure every Marvel game is authentic and awesome and represents the best of them.
And specifically on this title, though,
yeah,
probably more so than a lot of our games, is the intersection of so many, like, TV, film, comics, consumer products, like, all those things colliding.
All coming together.
Like, this LEGO Marvel's Avengers specifically, right? There's a lot going on. It's from all areas of sort of the Marvel universe. So it's a lot to... He's being humble. I'm trying to say it's a lot to manage. So I'm sort of Bill's lesser half game counterpart. So I'm Mike Jones, executive producer of Marvel Games. Bill's been at Marvel a lot longer than I have and in various capacities, like you said. I just joined Marvel last year. Next week marks my 1 year anniversary, actually, at Marvel. And we've been sort of quietly working on what our new game strategy is going to be going forward. And obviously, we've got a lot of stuff cooking right now, and super excited about LEGO Marvel's Avengers. But I come from game development, game publishing, and did a lot of localization and worked at Midway way back in the day. Did some licensing, you know, stuff at Takarotomi and Naruto and things like that, if you guys are fans. And then I worked at Capcom for years in their Tokyo office and Vancouver office. Worked on Resident Evil, Dead Rising, so my life was zombies for years and years. And then I just joined Marvel from Capcom last year. So internal, external development, publishing, all these kind of different areas of the games business. Lifelong Marvel fan. I have a Saul Buscema Spider-Man cardboard standee that I had over my art table growing up that hangs in my mom's 7th grade math class still today.
So we're two proud fanboys here now living the dream.
Yeah. So Bill and I work together with our partners to try and create the most authentic and exquisite gameplay experiences, and really looking for partners and having a developer focus or product focus, looking for partners who have a unique vision for what type of Marvel game they want to make, and passion, and teams that have passion for that, and saying, how can we work together, how can we support you to build that vision that we sort of believe in, right? Rather than a traditional licensing model of just like, here's the licensing agreement, you have the, you know, rights for these characters, go build a game. No, we see it as a very much of a collaborative partnership, and we seek out partners like TT Games who have a unique vision, who have a passion for building great Marvel content, and we say, we want to work with you, we want to facilitate that. And so our job is to do whatever that might be for each individual title. And in the case of LEGO Marvel's Avengers, is a lot. So today we're announcing a lot of new stuff. I'm not even quite sure where to begin, but if you saw us at San Diego Comic-Con, we were mainly focused on content from the first Avengers film. We had the Battle of New York demo, which I think is also on the show floor here. But today we're going to be showing stuff from Age of Ultron. So we're going to give you a new trailer that kind of has not just the first two Avengers films, which is kind of the main meat and potatoes of the story, but also a lot of the bonus content. So in the sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe continuum, you know that Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America Winter Soldier all take place between Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron, so you'll get to play all that content as sort of bonus content between those two films to kind of bridge that story, as well as deeper content from the extended television universe Agent Carter we're going to be announcing is in the game. There's going to be side missions where you go and find the elderly Agent Carter in New York City and talk to her, and she will remember
something,
and you have a flashback, and then the city changes, and the light posts change, and the cars change, and you go back in time. What else are we talking about?
Let's see.
I don't have my aids.
So it's almost like, you know, you get to play, when people just say Avengers, it's actually almost the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe is in this game. And then on top of that, as if it needs any more, is then also mixed in is classic Marvel youth. So it's not just all the characters from studios and TV. And just to say, we are all huge Agent Carter fans. We love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, yeah. And then when Peggy Carter came, we're like, oh, this show is awesome. And for T.T. to figure out how to fit it in and be very smart about it and do the flashback, we just totally geeked out. We're like, this is going to be awesome. People are going to love this. And so we're going to mix in a ton of classic Marvel characters. As you'll see today, we have characters like Fin Fang Foom, larger than life, in the game. And a couple of my personal favorites, Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy, are in the game, and they look awesome.
So if you think of kind of the way I try to describe it is, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe content is kind of the tip of the pyramid in terms of the main story content. Then you have the extended bonus content from other films and TV, and then you have the broader comic universe Avengers content where we go deep and wide on all kinds of obscure superheroes and villains and teams and Thunderbolts and, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that yet. But, like, somebody might be listening.
Shield's going to drop.
Yeah.
Take us
and,
out.
And so it's just this, you know, your point of entry is going in kind of through the MCU and those characters that we all know very intimately from the films, but then it's also an opportunity to celebrate and also educate probably a lot of fans on who are all these other crazy characters from, you know, the 75-year history of Marvel and Avengers.
So we go, it's like a giant pyramid of awesomeness. It just goes deep and wide. Just everything. Did I say that?
We announced that last time.
She's totally.
Well, no, yeah, we released the great shots, I think, around San Diego Comic Con of Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, Squirrel Girl,
America Chavez,
Jane Foster,
right,
was in there.
Thor.
Sam Wilson. Yeah, that was actually the Comic Con exclusive minifigures that we did. We announced
kind of go back to the midst of time and then try and get what's the most current. So that's why when talk about the pipelines, you know, editorials is constantly sending me stuff, and so I'm seeing things months in advance, and I'm immediately sharing with partners, like, you know, you don't know this, but, you know, for Sam Wilson, for example, like, Sam Wilson's going to become Captain America, it's going to be awesome, how can we get it in the game, and start planning there so that it all kind of hits at the same time. So it's the greatest hits, and then also, like, what's the newest, most awesome stuff from all of our divisions together.
So we're going to have a lot of awesome videos at the panel. You'll get to see it.
So I hope that gives you an idea of collectively what we do. And I guess we can start with questions. When we go...
Just discussion,
There you go. Then maybe we'll go this
way. I know it's like separate from each other, but I don't know. Would y'all ever consider like going into like... Because I know you have the fighting game, Marvel, Capcom, stuff. Would y'all ever do like just... How it was back in the day, like Marvel Superheroes, just that one fighting game by itself? At any point in time?
Personally, I'm a huge fighting game fan. I played like pro tournaments in Evo and worked at Capcom and a little of that kind of stuff. So, that's very interesting. I think, you know, we've been taking, it's about the right partner, right? And we've been taking a look at the approach that we're not taking is, hey, we have a portfolio and we have we're trying to fill a demographic slot or a genre slot or whatever. It's like, if there's a partner that's like, we want to make this awesome game, it's a fighting game, totally we'll have that conversation. But we're not necessarily out there going like designing a game ourselves and saying like, make this, you know, fighting game. So to vaguely answer your question, like, we'd totally be open to those ideas. But for us, it's about finding that spark of a vision and passion from a partner that wants to build, you know, a game like that.
I know a lot of people that like listen to our show, ask, like, hey, when are you going to come out with another fighting game?
Right.
That's whoever they talk to.
Like, all I can tell you is, you know, we don't have anything to announce or firm plans, but that's something that's near and dear to my heart. So it's definitely on our radar.
Yeah. It takes all these plans to align. And internally, you know, we've rebuilt Marvel Games, and the decision we've made, if it's not going to be awesome, if it's not going to raise the bar and set what each of these types of games should be, we're not going to do it. There's no reason to just put something out that's like, eh, okay. It's like, no. Everything we do moving forward is going to be best of breed.
Well, I mean, yeah. And you
otherwise,
look at our,
what's the point?
And you look at the other areas of our business and Marvel Studios, what they're doing in TV now, and Netflix, which is amazing.
Right.
Publishing never stops, and they just are continually outdoing each other.
Constantly.
Animation is like, watch the new Guardians of the Galaxy series, which is great. I don't know if you guys have seen it. But there's no reason games should be any different. And everything that we do in games should be dripping with that Marvel awesomeness. And that's very much our attitude kind of going forward.
So we'll start on this
slide, sorry.
With LEGO Dimensions now, is there any chance we can see some sort of tie-in with Marvel stuff in it? Or is it because DC's there?
Right now we're focused on, you know, our experiences with our characters and not necessarily, crossover type of stuff. We have Disney Infinity, obviously, where we do with 3.0 added Star Wars and have, you know, Disney Pixar content. And so that's an area where we're kind of experimenting and playing with what crossover IP sort of gameplay means and characters and what that means to storytelling and gameplay and branding, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're kind of focused on that right now as our Toys to Life and sort of brand celebration platform. And then on the LEGO side, obviously we have our consumer products that we try to align with, and then games. And so we're making it a very pure sort of Marvel experience right now in terms of, like, you know, what we're doing with LEGO versus Infinity, and not, you know, necessarily cross those things over.
So how, like, is this going to be like an open world game where you can go around and do whatever you want, or is this going to be more structured?
There's a bit of both.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be, you know, you've got your main sort of golden path experience, right, of playing through the films and the stories and the iconic moments from, you know, all the movies that you've seen in the cinematic universe. Of course, with the LEGO kind of whimsical humor and fun little gags, like, you know, snuck in there and Easter eggs and things, which you'll see in some of our videos.
That's right.
And not my hand gestures. And then in addition to that, we'll have New York as an open world hub, again, that you can explore, and there'll be missions and side missions and open world content. And then we're also introducing, and I don't know how much of this I can announce, but I know that we've got a whole set of sort of global hubs, right? So Avengers Age of Ultron became much more global.
Right.
You're going to Korea, which you'll actually see today.
Right.
So you're not just playing through the Korean, you know, battle sequence with the train crash. I think that you can actually, like, go around the hub, and there's, you know, South Africa, and there's,
right,
you know, the sort of globe-hopping hubs. I don't know if I can say, I'm still going to say no comment, so I don't get in trouble with Eric, where he is. So there's going to be the main kind of open world hub, New York, and then there's going to be a lot of global hubs that you can explore in free play separately from the mainline story mission. So if you think of that as like the roller coaster ride experience, in addition to that, you'll have the big open world New York, as well as kind of these satellite hubs around the world that you can explore sort of at your leisure.
And there is no better way to see New York City than as the Hulk, leaping from to building into Central Park. It's awesome. It's like, you are Hulk.
So Arthur, and the team have been...
It's great.
Some are returning from LEGO Marvel Super Heroes. Some are all new characters. We got a huge... I think we have close to 200-some characters in the game. And 100 of them are all new, weren't even in LEGO Marvel Super Heroes.
We just sat down and for days and days and days just went through our archives, all the Avengers books, and bounced it back and forth. What about that character? Is that considered Avengers? Let's get it in there. No comment on that one. But truthfully, we want to deliver like something that feels very Avengers. We don't want to just have something in there like, what? Why is that in there? How is that Avengers? So we really are looking at who is truly associated with the Avengers over the history, and trying to fit in as much as possible and just go as deep as possible to deliver everything that you can imagine for thoroughly satisfying Avengers.
Well, and going deep in terms of characters, and I was also driving at, like, hey, we have a lot of returning characters from the first game. How do we make them fresh, right? Giving them new abilities, new attacks, new team-up moves, and new, like, navigational things, right? So what he's talking about with the Hulk is, I don't know if you guys saw it at San Diego, is you can now do this kind of charge-up jump that he does, like that Hulk super leap, and you can just kind of leap five city blocks, right, as the Hulk, and just almost semi-fly around New York City. And so Arthur and the team at TT have been spending a lot of time saying, how do we make these characters that you already played in the first game fresh in this game, not just copy-pasted from the first title?
And even inventing things like Quicksilver, his movement.
Yep, like, that's all new gameplay. The time dilation, they've never put that in any other games. You got lots of Lego bricks and things going on, and it's, you know, technically tricky to say, hey, let's slow down time and have Quicksilver do his thing, because that would be authentic. That's what he does. And so they've gone above and beyond to make all the characters feel completely authentic, completely unique, and even characters that you played from the first game feel new.
This project going to tie in any way to the Netflix series? So Daredevil, Jessica Jones, anything like that?
There are some Defenders characters in the game. I don't know that we're doing direct tie-in, like retelling those stories. But you will see, I mean, you can go through Hell's Kitchen, right? You'll see some of those characters in the open world that you can engage with and interact with. But we've been mainly focused on, and especially a lot of it's, you know, timing and lead time of like how much content. It takes a long time to build console games, and so you know, a lot of it is based on the timing. So maybe for the next title, we can explore the Defenders, we can explore Guardians a little more deeply in terms of the contents out there at that point in time. Because what we didn't want to do is get in a situation where we're in this like potato sack race of like, well, it's almost done. Well, the Jessica Jones costume isn't designed yet, but we got to get the ratings done in, you know, Australia. So so we try to decouple that so we could focus on making it as great as it could possibly be. And so maybe for the next title, we'll be able to get a lot more of that stuff in.
Joe, Boys Life Magazine. First, I want to say I have four kids. They love the Avengers. It's been fun for me as a father. It's been a great way to introduce them to the characters I loved as a kid.
Awesome.
You should see my 3-year-old crush Galactus. Hey, how much is the main map going to change for New York City? Is it expanded or is it going to look totally like the last one? Or
it's expanded. We've changed it. I mean, we've changed some landmarks that we'd add. Locations. I think it's Triskelion. That's in Washington. The Raft.
The Raft?
Right. So there's going to be new kind of locations. There's going to be new areas to explore.
Right.
It won't be exactly the same. So you'll be able to find new things. And I think we're doing a new map as well, like a new mini map, so it's a little easier to kind of find. That was a little tricky, I think, in the last one, was like trying to find exactly like what collectible you're looking for types of things. So we're trying to improve that experience. And make the open world feel fresh as well, just like the character gameplay.
Question for both of you. What's the one character you guys are most excited about? And what's the one Easter egg you're most excited about?
Let's see. Instead of picking one character, a class of characters is sort of the new Marvel New Blood. So by that I mean, you know, Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, and Squirrel Girl, and Jane Foster Thor, and Hulkling, and Wiccan, and getting a chance to introduce us, and I love that you brought up the four kids and the way to introduce them to these characters, and I love seeing this whole new generation of characters. Marvel's doing a really good job in the last 5-10 years of introducing a really diverse and interesting group of new characters, and kind of giving kids around the world to say, hey, anyone can be a hero, you know. A lot of kids are now seeing heroes that look just like them. I think it's very important. And so that was a big effort for us to get those characters into the game. And so instead of just picking one, I'll just say, I love the new generation that we're going to introduce now to a new generation of Marvel fans.
And I'll just go with the gamey answer of, you know, the easy character answer, Iron Man. But the gameplay reason is one of the ways we're making Iron Man new and fresh. Is all of his armors aren't individual character selects on the character select grid. You can just hold a button, go inside the helmet to Jarvis, choose an armor, and you instantly like change armors, and he plays a little animation. So you can just change armors and like the utility that you need on the fly in the game, and it looks great. And so that's going to be a really exciting way to, I think, play and be Iron Man. So that's what I'm personally excited
about. Oh, Easter egg.
About.
And one extra, if you saw that we announced at San Diego, the Stand Busters. It's just the greatest thing in life. So it's like Stan's own Hulkbuster suit, complete with a typewriter that comes down and starts to play.
That's easily the best kind of Easter egg. Once you get playable Stan Lee and you get the Stan Buster, it's just when... That was an our idea. That was, you know, TT and those guys and the team, and they were like, playable Stan, how do we make that new and fresh and awesome? Boom, Stan Buster. And it's just with his lamp and his big pencil cannon and his typewriter. It's awesome.
That was all done. It's beautiful.
So, in the mobile space, you guys have a lot of variation in the types of games that you have to have a full cast. But in the console space, Lego is kind of it. Solely for Marvel, not like Disney only kind of mixes things up. What is it about the Lego brand that you think resonates so well to make that kind of the focus for console games?
I think what's so awesome about the worlds, and I say worlds because as Mike said, TT is so good at expanding, making it feel really deep and huge, and create whole worlds, and Lego, the possibilities are endless, as they say, you're only limited by your imagination. So with Lego, you're able to, we can pick one franchise and say, look at how huge the Avengers world is. You may think it's only this. You may only know this tip of the pyramid. But through Lego and their imagination and the locations and the characters and the groups that they can create in the Lego way, you can really focus and just and show exactly how big it is, and so it feels huge because it is huge. It's almost not limited, so it's a perfect combination of what Lego can do, what TT can do, and then this huge amount of Avengers coming.
So what I'd add to that is, well, one clarification is, Lego titles aren't necessarily our console focus. It's a huge, important game for us, right? And it is a massive part of our console presence right now. But we're very much planning, big things in console that are more hardcore, that are more casual, are more, that's kind of that you'll see coming from us soon. Just takes a little while. Lego, extremely important title for us and our fans. And I would say, the reason that it is so important to us is that the nature of partnering with Lego and our, consumer products team and studios team is that it becomes this thing that parents and children and families, like cross-generation, can share. I mean, you mentioned having kids, and I know you play with your son, Peter. And it's a way to introduce, new young fans to Marvel, as well as share those experiences across generations for adults who grew up loving this stuff, right? And enjoy playing it themselves as well as their kids. And I think, not a lot of games, especially with the co-op that you can play, not a lot of games, really straddle that gap in terms of like having something that both generations truly enjoy together. And so the Lego games for us are very much a way for everyone to celebrate Marvel together.
Any differences between the current gen and the last gen versions, and also any kinds of DLC?
Yeah, let's talk about how about the team up moves. So, in addition to introducing new characters and bringing a lot of characters from Marvel Superheroes, there's these great team up combinations, and we really sat down and thought about what are the logical pairs we'd put together, and if we put them together, what could they do? So there's moments where Black Widow grabs Cap's shield and Cap spins around and she goes up in the air and she spins around and takes everybody out. And it was a real fun way to spotlight each character and celebrate what is unique about each of them and kind of dream up, what if Thor hits, bam, hits Captain America's shield like he did in the movie and a shockwave goes out. And maybe you can, in the movie they do that because they were fighting, but maybe in playing to take out villains, surrounded by Hydra or whatever, boom, you turn that into an offensive weapon and the shockwave goes out and knocks everybody down. So that's a real, for me, I think it's really cool, all the team-ups. And that specifically celebrates, what is Avengers about?
Teamwork.
Avengers is about teamwork. Avengers is all about, and there came a day when there was an evil too great for one hero to face alone. And that's when the Avengers were born. They had to stand together to take out this greatest evil. And the only way they can do it is, even though they have differences, and we love it, we love that our Avengers are from different time periods and even different worlds. Thor is from Asgard, and they disagree about things. But when their backs are against the wall, when the aliens are coming down from the sky, when the Ultron hordes are swarming over the city, they put all that aside, they stand together, and they save the day. And that's kind of a great metaphor for what we should do as human beings in life, in toy form. And that's what also the game celebrates. And that's why I say everything about Avengers, we drill down. What is Avengers about? It is about teamwork. Different people coming together, standing together. And that's what the team-up component of the game represents so well.
But lots of upgrades to visuals from the last game. A bunch of new kind of, you know, system-wide or game-wide, you know, system feature updates, like some of the team-up attacks that he's talking about. We will have some great DLC to talk about, but not today. Probably closer to launch. And yeah, I mean, if you're playing on any platform, it's going to be a fantastic experience. And no, it's not going to be like different content or different features. It'll all work. You know, it might look a little prettier on next gen, but other than that, it's going to be that authentic Avengers experience.
Any characters that couldn't like really do what they did, just let y'all have free reign on just any character?
Well, again, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of characters that we love, but if they don't fit.
Oh.
If they don't fit the story, if they don't fit the gaming experience,
right.
It's like, no, this is, let's...
Or if it's kind of duplicating another character that's in there.
Other, you know, but we...
So there's, yeah, I mean, 8,000-some characters, right, in the history of Marvel, and so, you know, we can't make 8,000 characters. So a lot of it, you know, came down to like Bill was talking about, working with Arthur, working with the team, going through, you know, who should we put in and why, and for gameplay reasons, or for storytelling reasons, or for, you know, sort of, you know, holistic... You know, historical reasons of Avengers, and so, you know, we looked at it from a lot of different angles to kind of get it down to the list, right, of characters. Yep. Oh, sorry. Did we just double ping?
I don't know if you mentioned it yet, but do you have a number of how many characters are in the game?
I don't know what the final total number is. I think it's close to 200, but like I said, there's over 100. Characters that weren't even in the previous game that are all new to this game, so it's going to be a pretty meaty list.
The Avengers bench rolls deep.
Like whole roster of Marvel characters. Is there any like obscure Marvel characters you want included, but like just like too silly to add?
No, I mean it's I like that you bring up the word silly, and we look at it more as fun. So we actually lean into the fun factor. You know, what is both LEGO and Marvel known for? Humor. You know, especially in the cinematic universe, yeah, it's drama, it's serious, but then boom, you slip in a joke, and that's the Marvel magic, and that's also the LEGO magic. Is they're known for their great humor, and so it's kind of a perfect combo there, a Marvel team up, if you will. So no, I don't think there are any characters that wasn't a thought. The thought was actually the opposite: is how fun can we make the movie? What character would be so much fun? And yes, Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy. They're awesome, and they'll be totally fun, and they totally represent what LEGO and what Marvel is all about. So we actually leaned into the fun.
So how much do you guys have a say in like the promotion of anything? The game each time?
Oh, it's a discussion. I mean, like, you know, obviously it takes a long time to manufacture a physical thing, right? So we have to talk with our consumer products team and make sure, you know, is that part of their plan and LEGO and how long does it take to make it? And so it's usually a discussion between, you know, Warner Brothers, TT, us, consumer products, LEGO, and trying to find out, you know, what the right thing to do is. So we're part of that conversation, and a lot of times, you know, we're dealing with lots of different, you know, factors and constraints and goals and things that we want to do, but usually we all come to the table and agree on like what the awesome thing to do would be.
Since this game is so tied into the MCU universe, did you guys come in like get any challenges with, oh, you know, this is coming up, so we can't really spoil anything for new movies, or you had to kind of work your storyline around stuff that was going to be upcoming?
Well, we knew we were going to, you know, the two kind of tent poles were Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron, so that was kind of our focus as far as the, you know, the Marvel MCU timeline. So we agreed here's where we'll begin, here's where we'll end. So that's kind of what we focus on, that, and as Mike said, everything in between. As for future things, you know, that's another day, and the movies that are on the horizon. We just announced yesterday Ant-Man and Wasp, the sequel, and And so we are cognizant of what is coming. You know, we're looking ahead and we know, okay, Captain Marvel and Black Panther, all the movies we know about for Phase 3, we know about it and we're thinking of it. But for this, we're focusing on this time period.
Recently in a Contest of Champions, you introduced a new and original character.
Yes, Guillotine.
Exactly. Do you see that ever happening in a LEGO Marvel game in the future?
I say why not? I mean, again, part of LEGO is you're only limited by your imagination. So at first we want to really nail everything existing Avengers. But in the future, I mean, that's part of the fun of creating content and creating stories at Marvel and with TT is new characters. So could that one day happen?
Well, that's how a lot of kids play. I mean, you tell stories about Petey playing with Legos.
What my son loves to do is he will build them, and I'll spend hours building Avengers Tower, and I'll come in the next day, and he's took it apart. And so inside, I freak out, and then I'm like, wait, you know what? What is he doing? He's creating new stuff. So he'll take figures, and he'll take them apart, and he'll create new minifigures that he doesn't have. And even before, you mentioned the exclusive figures, and we did the Sam Wilson cap. Before that came out, when I first showed him the new Sam Wilson as Captain America, I showed him on the phone. He's like, oh, Papa, that's awesome. Let's go build him. And he runs back, and he gets his Falcon figure, gets his Captain America figure, takes off the cap head, takes the Falcon wings, puts on the cap body, puts Falcon head on it, and he's like, Papa, all new Captain America. And that's part of the joy of taking it apart and recreating it.
And so we've got the kind of hero, you know, creator, minifig creator inside the game that you can still mash things up and do that. And so in the future, I mean, directly to your point, yeah, why not? Maybe sure. We will do that.
Kind of bouncing off that, in the LEGO games, you guys put a lot of characters that hadn't been realized in LEGO before.
Yeah.
But they're still LEGO creations. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about that process?
It's so fun because what is more awesome? Like, I love, like you guys, we love seeing anything translated into the LEGO lens. So, like, the first time we saw, remember that iconic moment? It was a clip they showed in the famous Super Bowl Avengers commercial. It was the first time when the Avengers all assemble for the Battle of New York and the camera goes around and you just get goosebumps seeing them all standing there together. So the first time we saw that in LEGO form, we were all like, yeah! So when it comes to new things, and we'll say, what about this character? Has a minifigure been built? Like, no. Like, oh, okay, what's it going to look like? And how can we translate it? And how can we figure out hair color and skin color? And, like, how do you do Squirrel Girl's tail in LEGO form? And what's great is it's like kids. They say, well, we can take this part, we can do this, we can add this. And that's part kind of like a special, it's flashbacks to when you're a kid. And to kind of figure out what an all-new LEGO figure
and we try to keep, like. Yeah, and just like we try to keep it authentically Marvel, we want it to be authentically LEGO as right. well, right? Use right. the colors that right. they use in the actual minifigures, use the pieces that they actually right. use in the minifigures. Right. If we're doing designs on the bodies or the legs, to make sure that we follow the kind of same stylings and guidelines mm-hmm. that they do. And obviously, you know, TT and Arthur and the guys that are on the dev team are really well in tune with, you know, how those things work and how to make it authentically LEGO. So we're very sort of cognizant of, like, hey, it's got to be authentically Marvel, but it's also got to be authentically LEGO as well. And so we kind of follow a very similar process that the consumer products folks do when they're designing the actual minifigures. We treat it kind of the same way to get it into the game.
Sometimes we'll see it, and I'll say, oh, that's awesome. What set is that in? And they're like, no, we made it up.
Yeah.
It looks so real and so perfectly LEGO.
Do you think that's the fan thing in some ways? All the fans are there, you've got 200 cats. They want all those minifigs.
I say it's great because if it one day leads to an actual figure, that's awesome.
Yeah. Why not?
So, for a side question, but I have seen Lego's superheroes, Marvel superheroes on the market.
Sure.
Comic Cons. Are those bootleg or. Because I actually came across a Green Lantern and Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
not be correct.
But you know what? It's like fan art. Fans get totally behind it. It's like the cosplay, I think. You know, it's unofficial creations, but that's what Marvel and Lego is all about. Taking your imagination, taking what you love, and creating new stuff, and it's unofficial, but that's what, you know, that's what fans love to do. You know,
are there going to be any sets in the future? Like, we got the LEGO Helicarrier. By the way, you can send me.
I have one right here. We can't really talk to that.
Yeah, lots of sets coming. You know, our consumer products team is fantastic, and they're well in tune with everything else we're doing in film, TV, and animation. And there's going to be no shortage of amazing Marvel playsets or sets that'll be coming out. But yeah, nothing that we can talk about today.
And I'll be buying many of them for birthdays and Christmas. Yeah. To come. Happily.
So coming off the last game, which character did you guys get the most requests to add into this game? Is there one specifically that you heard got a lot of attention?
Was it in the last game?
I think you know, like I said, there's a lot of excitement about some of the new Marvel characters that just haven't been either in LEGO form physically or in the movie. So a lot of requests for new characters, and that's why every time it's time to come to a convention and show new stuff, like we sit down, like, what can we show? And so we're always excited when we can show all new stuff that people have never seen before. And you wouldn't believe, but we spend hours like going through the list. Let's look at them, and we get into arguments. Let's show this character. Let's show this character. And so I would say, yeah, the new wave of all new characters that just haven't appeared yet. That's kind of like, we get a lot of questions about that.
But you could probably ask Arthur, because I think people go directly to him on Twitter, and they're like, add this character. So he could probably give you a lot more insight into the types of requests they get directly on the dev team.
So with, you know, Secret Wars and all new, all different Marvel coming out, how much of a lead time do you get from Marvel about, you know, what's coming up? How much can you put in?
Well, it's great. Even, you know, we're, like I said, we're on two different coasts, but we're of the same kind of hive mind. And so the editors are always so excited when they see their new characters then appear in Marvel games, and so they're constantly sending me stuff. And it can just be a black and white character design. It's even before it's full color and released to the world. So usually I have a good 6 months lead. They'll send me stuff. It takes about 3 months to create a comic, and we're always in the comic sphere. We're working about 3 months out before we release covers, and since they're actually on sale, so you have at least that 3 month buffer as they're creating content, and then before that, there's a good 6 months. And I go to, there's quarterly editorial summits at Marvel. I'll be going to one next month, and that's when we sit down and we talk about, okay, with our books, what is happening in the next 3 months? What's happening in the next 6 months? What do we plan out for the next year? And that's where a lot of ideas pop up, and I'll run back and we'll start thinking, like, how can we deploy this into the games? And we'll share that content with our partners, and we actually put on the partners. We say, what are you interested in? Like, we love this stuff, but of here's all these new characters, which ones do you love most? And they quickly say, oh, Jane Foster's Sword, let's get her into the game.
Or make for great gameplay.
Yeah.
Or is it considered, like, you know, there's not actually a minifigure, so we want to design this, you know, character as a minifigure.
And then same thing with animation and studios and TV. We're constantly talking to each other and walking down the hall. And so we have that month lead up, and that's when we can run out with our partners. But
it's a lot of crazy threads of, like, hey, the team's trying to build this, and, oh, we got to go read the script for the new movie or look at the new character designs, or we just got something from publishing, or we're talking to TV. And so we're constantly trying to, like, play whack-a-mole on all the different threads of, you know, reference and development and planning and characters and getting it all done and out the door. So it's fun. It's a fun challenge.
Sometimes my favorite thing is to open my email and look at all the cool, you know, you see this mountain of emails, like, oh no, but wait, it's cool new art of a character I haven't seen before. Like, that's the greatest email to ever get. So it's a lot of that constant communication and just all the departments sharing.
So, you know, between the last LEGO Marvel Studios and this new title, you know, has there been anything that either TT has wanted to put in or you guys have wanted to put in, just didn't make it, and I'm just hoping to find a way to get it in there?
I mean, like, up until about a month ago, we were still putting stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we haven't gotten to the cutting room floor just yet, but maybe ask us in a few months and we'll probably have some thoughts.
Hey guys, just heads up on time. We only have time for one or two more questions, so.
Can we put them in Spider-Gwen?
Love Spider-Gwen. We are all huge, huge fans of Spider-Gwen. But, again, you have to think Avengers. And does Spider-Gwen have a significant relationship to the Avengers? Not yet. You know, and that's part of it is there's a lot of characters that we love, but we say, are they Avengers? You know, not yet. And that's kind of the criteria. Is, like, do they have a significant relationship to the Avengers that Marvel fans say, yes? You know, yes, earlier about Luke Cage. Yes, Luke Cage had a, you know, thanks to Brian Michael Bendis, has a years run in the Avengers books, and that's kind of our criteria of, do they have a real legitimate connection to the Avengers? And then if so, we try and get them in. But if they don't, but we still love them, it's like, well, that's a conversation for...
There will be a next project after this game.
Oh.
Well,
so many.
Yeah, we can't say. What I can say is people have no idea the amount of awesome games that are getting cooked back in Jarvis's kitchen. There is a ton of stuff on the way that we just can't talk about yet.
Yeah, I will, you know, is an opportunity to remind everyone, earlier this year we did announce a partnership with
Telltale
Games, so we're going to be doing some episodic story stuff, and to kind of leap off of what Bill said, that's really just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a lot of cool stuff coming. So,
plans
to announce, nothing to break news today, but we've been quietly at work in the lab, and hopefully it's gonna start paying off, you know, next year.
Alrighty, thank you for
guys.
Your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your questions, and we really appreciate it. And we hope to all see you at the panel.
LEGO Dimensions introduced a lot of new properties like Doctor Who and. Could we see some of those, since they're part of LEGO Dimensions, could we see them offshoot into their own game?
That's a really cool question, because my assistant game director is the biggest Doctor Who fan, Whovian, ever on the entire planet. And I remember when I hired him 8 years ago, his university dissertation, I don't know if that translates over here, like his final piece of work at uni was the design for a LEGO Doctor Who game. So when I went to uni to look for people to hire,
right.
It was like, hold on, whose work's this? Right, who's Stephen? It's like, so talk to Stephen.
Which Doctor Who?
At the time, I'm almost positive it was Tennant. I'm almost positive it was Tennant at the time. But yeah, so he's been off. He's still working on Avengers, but he's also been working on the Doctor Who stuff for Dimensions, because he never thought we'd get to that point. But it's one of those things, if there's one area within Dimensions that's everyone's just bombarding us with, like, let's, you know, could this happen? Who knows?
Okay.
So
I didn't know if including it into Dimensions precluded it shooting off.
No, because you've got Jurassic content, haven't you?
Yeah,
like
true,
a movie, Batman, Lord of the Rings and stuff, so... I'm looking at that. Yeah, I still haven't played it all. I've played the heck out of the Portal stuff. I love the Portal stuff in Dimensions, but I still haven't got all the toys. But hopefully they'll be there when I get back in the office.
We know Kamala Khan is Marvel's going to be in the game.
Yep.
Is the original going to be in there?
You'll have to wait and see.
Right. Where's your cutoff? You mentioned Age of Ultron before. Is that the cutoff as far as movie content? Or did you get any of the other
Can you tell us?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think if I can.
I mean, shrink it down.
We've done that. We have that ability. Like Fing Fang Foom can shrink and grow really big. In terms of an actual cut off, I don't think we've necessarily cut off. Our story obviously goes from. Our story actually goes from the opening of Age of Ultron, attack on Strucker's Castle, Tony gets the staff, you then go back to Loki being given the staff by the other Avengers, an original segue into Age of Ultron, through to the end of Age of Ultron as the core story, but then outside of it, we're going off all over the place. So, I don't think there is an actual answer to that, sorry. One character reveal, what... Prior to the panel,
a new character appeared before you. A new character in the game. You can tell us now before the panel.
Okay, so yeah, so Fing Fang Foom's going to be revealed. That hasn't been revealed. That's going to be revealed at the panel. As is Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy. So one character so Hulkling's going to be in the game, which is quite a popular character. I'm trying to think who else we're actually revealing. There's so many we've had to be really quiet this year because you've had Jurassic out and Dimensions out and they all have their space, and so we're just busy making the game and showing a little bit and not doing much else. So now we're just coming out and going, here's loads of stuff, you know, you're going to love all this stuff. And he's trying to get that message over to everything that's actually in the game. So, but I don't think we'd revealed Agent Carter in the game yet, but or Sitwell. So Sitwell's a big reveal for the day. But there is quite a lot. Hulkling. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Amadeus Cho, there's loads. There's an absolute load, actually. Jessica Jones, that she's not been revealed yet either. So they'll all be revealed in
45 minutes.
Thank you.
An hour.
Okay, an hour. So
don't want to
yeah. So if you get out on Twitter now, just yeah. But yeah, there's yeah. Obviously, all that stuff's going to be announced pretty soon, I'd imagine. And the trailer goes live soon as well. I think 1 o'clock. And that trailer's, I love that trailer. So if you haven't seen it yet, I hope you'll love that trailer too.
Obviously, making the game takes a lot of time and effort. Is there a lot of downtime in between the games? I mean, the game goes gold and then you take like a month.
That's a question to ask my girlfriend, Vicky. Is there ever any downtime between games? Okay, no. That's the answer. I'll be honest with you. Before we finish, for the design team, before we actually finish, we're already like in the headspace for the next one. Because we effectively, if you imagine, I've got 150 brilliantly talented people that are just like getting the work done. At the point that we finish a game, believe it or not, when you finish a game and it gets submitted for approval, there's not a gradual decline in your workload. You're ramping up, you get to full speed, and it's like falling off a cliff. One day you're coming in and you're doing like, you know, you're in there doing your 14 and a half hour day, fixing, juggling, spinning plates. The next day you come in and there is nothing to do. And it's just, that's exactly what it's like. So in order to make sure that we're keeping everyone just busy, you know, we have to make sure we're designing ahead of the game. And then at least we can do some of the stuff that we like to do, which is say to people, right, you know what, the next title we're doing is Lego Marvel's Avengers. Right, here is a film list. If you haven't watched these movies, go out and watch, you know, First Avenger, Winter Soldier, get yourself watching Thor, Dark World. Here is 22 movies. Go and watch 22 movies. Here's Agent Carter, that's episode great. 1. Watch 8 episodes of Agent
that's great,
Carter.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great. Right there.
Exactly. And as well as that, it's like, and once you're done with that, like, there you go. There's some comics to read. And, you know, what? Here's my username and password for Marvel Unlimited.
Here's DC, because we're going to be playing.
And that's it. It's just we have to get thinking in that space. And the reason we get everyone on board with it is not everyone is going to be a fan of everything we do. We don't expect that. But it's great if our artist that, say, is working on, Svartalfheim knows what it looks like. And has a history of what that location is, or, you know, Greenwich. Why is that Greenwich important? Well, that Greenwich is important because it's in Thor Dark World. It's where the Dark Elf ship's going to smash it all up. So watch the movie. You know, here's a comic that's the background of Malekith or Curse, and that's kind of how we do all that stuff. So, any other questions? Sorry.
Was there anything that you really wanted to put in this game, but ultimately had to say, you know what, maybe Lego Superheroes 2?
No, not
DLC confirmed already.
Yeah, no, yes and no, yes, and, but no. The official answer is no.
What's the unofficial answer?
That would be no. That's got to be no as well.
But,
so.
But now we know Lego Superheroes 2 is confirmed.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you never know what. And this is the thing. This is the great thing. I always say this. No one believes it. They won't actually tell me what game I'm working on next until right towards the end of a project, because they know that I get like overly excitable at like panels and all the rest
I was
of it.
Always joking.
And I do. Historically in the past, I've gone, yeah, and there's this and there's that, and there, and it's like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have said this and that
and
the other. So
the PR people are like,
yeah. So no, I'm they just don't tell me anymore, and then that way I can't ruin anything. So, hi.
Less of a question, more of a plea. Feed versions in the future. Do what you did with Lego Batman 3 and with Jurassic World. Just
right.
Like a stripped down version of the console games, the perfect.
Okay, cool. Exactly. I'll pass that on because it's actually a different team that does the Vita versions. And I know that they're really excited about Lego Marvel Avengers because they've actually done an open world for the first time. So so on Vita, that's also got the open world.
Are we going to see Deadpool?
I don't know, actually. That character is not on any roster that has actually been announced at this time. So, any other questions, anyone?
Any changes to co-op?
No, co-op is pretty much going to be as it has been before. It'll be couch co-op. And here's to preempt if anyone asks the question. The reason that we are so adamantly and vehemently behind couch co-op, there are so few games that you can play on a console with two people in the same room. I grew up playing, Sensi Soccer, Speedball, you name it. Sat with, my Kempston Pro or whatever it was, alongside a friend, digging them in the ribs, doing all the rest. Couch co-op is so important that, we cannot let that go. That's where most people enjoy our games. It's like you've got a hardcore gamer that plays the game with his girlfriend or boyfriend. You have that dad and son bonding time. It's so important that people work together and play LEGO games together. And I would never ever want that to change. That's pretty much as it's going to be for all eternity, I would hope.
Following up from the Deadpool question, are the characters in the game all from Marvel Studios or any Fox or non-MCU characters pop up?
The roster is a very clear Avengers-focused roster. So, you will see the roster is bigger than any roster we've had, but it's the Marvel Universe through Avengers goggles. So, not Cinematic Universe goggles, Avengers goggles.
If you were given the green light just to do whatever other, not non-Marvel, but comic series or character, no matter how obscure, who would you do?
I can't really say, but I love the Flash TV show.
Yeah.
You see a lot.
Well, exactly. So the Arrow pack that was in Gotham was because we loved the pack and we just thought we'd have great fun with it. So, we love just every comic series. Everything. I just love like all that kind of stuff.
Are you a Red Dwarf fan?
I was a long time ago. But there are people that's in the office that still watch that stuff, and I can't watch it anymore. I'm kind of done. But that would be interesting. I think it'd be very niche, but
it would be very
interesting.
How come there were no Marvel characters in LEGO Dimensions?
That probably comes down to other games in the same space, I would say. But it's one of those things that that's just the way it is, for now. So. Is that everyone answered?
No.
It looked like they're
cool.
Good.
Yeah. Are we getting hustled, are we?
I think they're smiling at us.
No, thank you. Cheers. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Okay, cool.
Now, off the record, I have to ask this. Is there any way to improve the flight in these games? Because the flight controls are horrible.
Yes. That's something that we are looking at improving for this one. So it's something you can't keep everyone happy.
I understand that.
But flight controls and driving controls, it's a constant, iterative cycle. We have to try and improve it.
I didn't want to ask on the record. But
oh, no, you can, no, it's fine. It's fine. I like criticisms as much as we like praise. So.
Because some of the flight races, it's impossible to do.
Oh, tell me about it.
Because you're going and then you have to stop, and it's instead of stopping in the air, you just drop.
So it's something we are working on, don't worry.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com, email us at contact@everythingaction.com, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and search for us on the iTunes Music Store and stitcher.com.